We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend!
Hola, best friend!
Hola, Stefano Filipina Horstina. Emphasis on horst.
Oh my god, stop it, I'm not a whore. Although, yes, in many ways I am still on vacation in Mexico.
And in many ways, I'm still positive for COVID.
Is everything okay? I know you've been in isolation and literally still have COVID, and you're now a hashtag long hauler.
Yeah, long yes, hauler. We exist. Yes, we exist. Do not say Omicron is mild because you are ignoring folk. When we recorded last week, my symptoms hadn't started, and now we're recording again, and like the symptoms are gone.
Are you sure? Because yesterday in the group chat, you said that you had some sniffles, and I got really worried.
Yeah, I had sniffles midweek. I had mad sniffles.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to be rude, I would say that I know that you've had COVID and everything. I would say maybe I've had like the best week of my life, but I totally miss you.
We're on week 19 of not seeing each other IRL. I literally don't know you anymore.
Okay. This week we read this book. We said this to each other the other day. This book is why we got into this business.
Thank you.
This book is literally exactly why I wanted to have a podcast. It is so funny. It is so random. It is so juicy.
Like, it just defines us of like, okay, qualities, why we got into this business of having a book of celebrity books. Because it's about
B-list actress.
B-list to C-list actress. 90s stuff. Horny. Dick. Sheryl Crow. L.A. The Valley.
Divorce. Like, always selling your car. Driving. Describing the dick size. Like, massive font. Like, huge, huge, huge font. Like, so many photos.
So many puns.
Random lists.
Yes, italics that just goes into like lists of just being like ways to meet and fuck an athlete if you're in Cabo San Lucas.
So the book we're talking about is, of course, the actress who you absolutely do not know, Rosa Lazzi, and her book Jock Itch, The Misadventures of a Retired Jersey Chaser. Brilliant name about how she's addicted to
dating fucking athletes. And fucking athletes. And the cover is like her, my favorite hot look for a chick, which is just football jersey, heels, nothing else. Like the most 90s male fantasy. Just like, oh, dude, a fucking girl who watches football but is also hot.
But wears makeup? Holy shit.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, well, you're halfway there right now in your past jersey.
Yeah, I'm wearing wearing a Tom Brady jersey right now.
But you don't got your full beat on.
No, I'm not contoured to the gods right now.
So for those who don't know, which is, I assume, all of our listeners, Rosa Blasi is most well known for her 6 seasons on the Lifetime medical drama Strong Medicine, where she played tough-talking inner-city OBGYN Dr. Lou Delgado.
Produced by Whoopi Goldberg, if that may help you.
She's worked with a lot of huge people. And the reason we are reading this book is because she is actually a friend of my cousin and friend of the pod, Monica, who I feel like we're always talking about on this pod, who famously lives in Los Angeles. And my mom was visiting my cousin recently and she saw this book and she was just like, this is sort of Steven. Scream Steven to me. I'm just going to pick this up. And she was like, sweetie, do you want to read this? And I was like, oh my God.
Give it to me now, Mom.
Fuck. Give it to me now.
I thought Fuck Monica me. Sent it to you.
No. No.
You're, that's she didn't. Really cute that your mom saw it and was like, this is Steven.
No, my mom is actually super validating of my career choices.
Hell yes. Because I feel like sometimes you're like, ugh, my mom got me this random sweater from Nordstrom and she doesn't know me at all.
No, she doesn't know me at all. And she's always like getting me applications to law school and like not getting me books about celebrities.
Okay, Rosa Blasi, another amazing thing she was in that she mentions, which will come into play when we talk about the book, is she was in The Grudge.
She was in The Grudge, yeah, which surprised industry insiders and really exceeded expectations, which it's box office haul, and was filmed in Japan. It was actually a remake of a Japanese horror film, and it stars Sarah Michelle Gellar, as we know.
So this book, it's completely insane. It's basically a guide of like how to meet athletes, but it's also a warning that you shouldn't date athletes. But it's also just like her tale of being just so attracted to athletes and what happens when that happens.
It's so funny. And she's so like, this is one of those things where I'm like, this book would never be written today.
Because
like,
really wouldn't.
She goes there. She tells you the dick size of everyone she sleeps with. It's all I've ever wanted in a book. And I'm just sitting there nude on the beach, clapping, just being like, thank you for actually telling us what we want to hear. Like, this is what we deserve. I want to know how big the dicks are. And she's like, I know you do, bitch.
No, and it's amazing because she uses like code with all these athletes and none of them. She also names like the famous ones. So she'll be like, we were like having margs with Eli Manning. But like all the guys she dates, she gives code. So
yeah, and just P.S. she does say that both Eli and Peyton are swinging.
Yeah, she's like, they're fucking huge. And I loved his wife and I knew she was getting stuffed to the gills.
Okay. But then she also says that Peyton Manning's wife had a thing for my husband.
Oh, right. And then it'll be a photo of her wedding day, and it'll be like her husband with just a black bar over his eyes, even though
she just puts the black bars over the eyes of like all these people. And you're like, well, if I knew anything about 2000s era professional sports, I could probably tell who these people are. However, I do not
know who like was like the 8th round draft pick for the Chicago Bears.
So the first like big athlete that she dates is this NHL player who played for the LA Kings, excuse me, the hockey team over there, whose nickname was Moose. And honey, it wasn't because he was from Canada.
Hello.
So Moose has like the largest dick in history.
And Moose is a hockey player. And she's always like, Tima, she's like, yeah, it was kind of crazy because like normally I'm not attracted to hockey players. So it was absolutely insane for me to date this like bulky man with a massive dick.
Yeah. And then when she dates a baseball player, she was like, it was so weird because I knew nothing about baseball.
You're like, is it so weird?
Is it so weird?
Right, she's not even, I actually thought she was going to be a little more guy's girl and being like, I grew up going to the games with daddy, whatever, and I loved like playing touchdown. But like, she is more like, I have no idea what's going on in the field. I'm just like, they're just such bad boys.
I am so obsessed with her like open ditziness and like ignorance about sports. It's so hot. It's so just honest. And her just like, yeah, I don't fucking care about the plays. Like, I am here for the asses. I am here for the Hawkeyes, for the power, for like the whole stadium cheering for one man. I mean, she basically like psychoanalyzes her own attraction as being like, athletes are gods and they get all this attention in high school and everyone like thinks they're amazing at what they do. And so they praise them. So they grow up to be these absolute retards who like don't have to be. I mean, that's the other thing. She's always saying that athletes are so dumb. And she's just like, you literally need like an athlete to human translator because all they do is mumble.
She's like, there's two types of like speakers. There's like mumblers and then just like silence. Like, and then she'll like talk about like these dinner parties and like how like the wives are like also as stupid. And she's always like, if someone can speak, she's like, thank God for Christy for like getting me through that dinner at STK because like everyone is so
she's always
stupid.
At Tao. She's always at a steakhouse. And it's always like six other like implanted bimbos. She'd be like, and they couldn't hold a conversation and they never spoke. And then there was one slutty former Hooters waitress that was my best friend. And we got through that dinner with our mumbly
big meds. So she moves to LA and she gets like her start. I feel like dating athletes. I mean, there's one in high school, but by being a Hooters waitress, because like athletes come to Hooters.
I think she was a Hooters waitress in Chicago, actually.
Oh, which makes so much sense.
So that's where the Hooters dream started.
Right. Okay. She reveals that also if you want to, in her list of like where to meet athletes, she says most athletes either live in Scottsdale, Arizona or Florida. So just move there.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have the page where she goes. Okay. Hold on. Here is your very own where to meet athletes guide. One, at the Super Bowl and the several days of events and parties leading up to it. She goes to the Super Bowl every year to meet guys.
Like,
and she's like, her and all her friends would like reserve tickets for all the parties at the Super Bowl like months in advance. We're like, yeah, that's where we just like find all our prospective dates for the next year. It's called prospecting.
Literally genius. Also, she is never not at a Maxim. It's this whole book is Maxim era or that magazine
the most
stuff.
Maxim stuff magazine. Well, she also talks at one point where she was just like, you know, before Maxim and stuff, all you had was Playboy. She's like, oh yeah, it was Playboy, which was full frontal. And then like really boring, like Good Housekeeping, Cosmopolitan, just like finally Maxim and FHM like created a new paradigm for women like me. We're just like fun, sexy actresses who didn't want to get fully nude.
Right. Fun, sexy actresses who like are on strong medicine. Cause she gets offered Playboy and I forget. She says no because then she like gets embarrassed for Moose's family or something.
Yeah, she's always being too differential to like these like asshole athlete families. Okay, wait.
We
this
continue
is the list
the
of
list, yeah.
Athletes. Okay, two, at their local post-game hangout, usually a fine restaurant because they are hungry and already in a suit every day, which is so Ruth's Chris's steakhouse.
I know, like, they're all at Ruth Chris's Weber Grill STK in the widest, hugest suits.
Every team has one or two hangouts. You just have to befriend a trainer or someone who works closely with them or pay attention to your local paper about where players are spotted.
Okay, well, I will say, I remember my dad, because obviously he's such a Rosa Blasi, told me that the Celtics worked out.
Honey, your dad has jockish.
Worked out at his like Greater Boston gym. So
who did?
The Celtics, heard of them?
Oh, well, yeah, well at what's it called? Health Point.
At like Health Point in Lincoln or Concord.
I mean, they built Health Point like as a Celtics like training center.
Right. So he befriended a trainer. So I befriended my dad, who's a trainer. And
did you find out what steakhouse they go to?
I did not, but I feel like they were always at like Anthony's Pier 4.
You don't think they go to Moo?
Where I first had DuVernay.
My mother's favorite steakhouse.
No, the Moo, when your mom parents took me to Moo, that is one of my life-changing meals at Moo.
And there's like big black and white photography of cows.
Of cows, because I think we were like 16 and it got to have alcohol and I had a Dubonnet.
You had a Dubonnet at Moo?
Yeah, because your whole family was ordering Dubonnet and I was like, what the fuck?
My family is so unhealthily obsessed with Dubonnet.
Yeah, it's like, I've
such
never
an 1830s
heard of this drink. It's like, you write like a French aperitif. Okay, we're bringing back Dubonnet in 2022. It's the new espresso martini. I'm calling it now.
Okay, back to the list. 5, player parking lots. Access is usually surprisingly sparsely or not at all guarded during the practice week. 6, official team hotel. They check in around dinner time on Saturday night in their home cities the night before the game. I mean, that's kind of obvious. 7, NFL players usually have a hotspot nightclub on Sunday night. Monday night is their weekend night because Tuesday is their only night off during the week. That's actually really good advice.
It is.
Knowing the schedule during game season. Sometimes if a coach is in a good mood, they'll get off Monday after a Sunday win as well. Figuring out the hotspot is easier in, say, Green Bay, Wisconsin than it is in Manhattan. Because at Manhattan, like, maybe they're going to just, like, zero bond and partying with Eric Adams and having vegan balls all night. But like,
there's many a cheesy nightclub. Also, like later on in the book, when her husband, quote unquote, Tim, plays for the Giants, and she's so like being like, like they're called the New York Giants, but like I basically had to become a New Jersey housewife, and like that sucked.
Because, and she was like, just like, and it's so fake, and they're like, so having fake cachet for being in New York, but it's just Jersey. Put the Giants on blast.
Yep. Literally say it proud.
Oh, wait. And also, my cousin is in this book.
Oh, I have the page.
I think she's Melissa.
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Because she, like, my cousin was like, yeah, like, she said, she, like, says this thing where she, like, calls her up for being, like, so hanging out with her grandma. Because, like, my cousin is such a saint. She was always hanging with my grandmother. May she rest in peace, Therese, before she died.
Wonderful.
And, like, and there's this scene where she's like, yeah, that I called my friend Melissa, and she was like, I have plans with my grandma. But then she also says, like, she has an amazing
ass. Oh, yeah, so she's like, really damn, my friend Melissa had a badonkadonk, like, ass for days. So I call her up, and I'm like, let's go clubbing. And yeah, she's like, no, I'm hanging with my grandma. And I'm like, girl, show that ass off tonight. And this is just one page.
My cousin also has an amazing, she should just be on this episode.
Yeah.
She has an amazing story about meeting Josh Duhamel at the Playboy Mansion. And then she, like, I mean, I don't want to tell her, it's her story. I'll let her.
Don't tell a woman's story.
Never tell a woman's story, but it's funny. And yeah, she got his number, and that's all I'll say.
Damn. I want to read this part where she finds out her first, like, long-term hockey boyfriend, Moose, is a sex addict and has been, like, cheating on her all the time, which is just, like, duh, all athletes. And she finds out because, like, a random friend of hers from Atlanta puts his friend on the phone, who turns out to be, like, Moose's other girlfriend. And then she flies to Atlanta. Like, everything is so crazy movie where it's like,
oh, she's constantly hopping on a plane to, like, fly to meet a girl, just, like, have a weird conversation about another athlete. Or just, like, because she's dating a guy who is, like, having an away game in Minnesota.
And she's like, mind you, I had 14-hour shooting days on Strong Medicine. So I'm leaving LAX at, like, midnight, arriving in Minneapolis International, flying back out on Sunday to be there for makeup call. Okay, so her revenge is her and this other girl call Moose and, like, call him being so like, hey, we found each other, like, you're caught. But then she gets, like, a mastiff dog, and she goes to the vet when it gets neutered and asks her vet to put the balls in a Ziploc bag. And then she goes, in a mason jar floating in vodka were 2 small puppy testicles. Jake had been neutered the day before. And like a weirdo, I asked the vet if he could put them in a Ziploc for me. The vet said, you have no idea how often I get that request. It was meant to be a joke. And Moose got my sarcasm and my sense of humor. He called me when he received it laughing. These are not what I think they are. He giggled as much as an enormous man can. Well, they aren't gnocchi, I snorted. They actually did look just like gnocchi from your favorite Italian place, Sans Sauce. When I wasn't mailing organs or missing mooses, it became evident to me that I needed to get tested for every possible disease, including hoof and mouth.
She is so fucking funny. And later in the book, when she's at a sex shop with one of her girlfriends and they see a dildo, and the friend is just like, oh, who could ever be that big in real life? And she just goes, that was my moose. I mean, and that brings it back to the sort of age-old thing where it's just like, there's always that one dick you just can never get out of your head.
Right.
We've all got one.
Like, she, you know, as much as maybe Moose broke her heart, but he also is the one that got her hooked. Like, she's always going to be thinking about that Moose.
Oh, he got her hooked and then some. Okay, the baseball player who has the small dick, who they nicknamed the bat, but honey, it wasn't a bat. I'm like, so she'd heard that his nickname was the bat, so she was so excited because she had had the like Moose experience.
Right. She was
being like okay, oh, if they've got a nickname.
She's like, you know, it's good. So I was ready at the plate.
All right. So this is, she's with the baseball player. And this is like, they like met in like Miami or something. And it's always so like,
on a boat.
This is what they met at the Playboy Mansion. And she was like so wasted and like vomiting. And she was like, please hold my clutch. And then she yeah. came back and he was like, I'm holding your clutch. And she was like, I can't believe he didn't steal my clutch. Like, I have such good judgment when I'm wasted.
And she like didn't recognize him. And she's like, but I recognize my bag. Wait, just one other thing before you read that. This thing about that where she was like, I rarely drank, but I discovered this amazing concoction called Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, yeah. She's like, and it's absolutely satanic. Okay, when things progressed in the bedroom and it was time to consummate our friendship, Pete paused as he was about to do his unveiling. Oh, and every guy does an unveiling, which I wonder if that's so straight where it's just like, you have to be like, okay, here we go.
Producer Meg.
But my producer Meg is shaking her head.
I think it's a little more like,
no, that's not how it works.
Athlete, and they're in this huge carpeted bedroom. He's taking off his huge like Armani slacks that are still like so baggy, and he's taking off these like leather shoes.
Right. So it is an unveiling because you're basically like it's like curtains on a stage. Everything is just so large.
And I feel like they're so like, let's get ready to rumble, and are like, all right, like get ready for it.
Okay, well, this is very loud. Okay. Pete paused as he was about to do his unveiling. That's odd, I thought. Usually guys are so spastically and eagerly wanting to show you their pride and joy. Even toddlers can't keep their hands out of their diapers. With his hands on the zipper of his jeans, he sort of laughed and quietly said, I'm not that big. He was doing his deadpan thing again, but I knew this time he had to be kidding. I just laughed. I was in on the joke. His nickname was the Bat. I'd learned from Moose's nickname to take them seriously. All jokes are somewhat based in truth, right? Turns out I was a slow learner. Pete had no bat to speak of. Where a penis would normally be located, there was a skinny, sad popsicle stick. I was sure it could be bent and damaged upon touch. It was more beef jerky than hot dog, unless you left the hot dog in the Arizona desert for a week to shrivel and dry up.
Another Arizona
as
reference.
As it stared back at me, affixed between two completely shaven balls and traces of baby powder on them. To this day, I can't look at Dunkin' Donuts powdered munchkins without thinking about them.
She is a poet. She is a poet.
She's a fucking poet.
Wait, I also, on her wiki, I read that in 2019, she got her license as a family and marriage counselor.
Stop.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of town. Because she's like addicted to her marriage therapist when she's married to Tim Fish, who it later turns out was like the most insane
full psychopath,
cheater,
like
drug
cheater,
addict,
pill addict,
psychopath, prostitutes. I mean, the fact
Scambler.
That he fucked her best friend on their wedding
night. That was insane. After they had like, fucked too. It wasn't even like, oh, she passed. Not that I'm saying that would be okay, but I'm saying like, not that she was so wasted and then passed out. And he was like, well, I need to fuck. So I'm going to go like find Amy.
Yeah, that would have made a little more sense. They had already fucked. She was like, we consummated our marriage, like fell asleep at like 3 a.m. Then he gets out of bed and goes to her friend's room, like knocks on the door. And fucks her.
And they're like, yeah, let's like do coke. And then they get in the hot tub. And then also even sketchier, like Amy doesn't even remember. She's like, yeah, then he threw me down and like things were faded. And then
the scene where she confronts Amy and it's like at the most like Santa Monica Pier restaurant and there's like so many ahi towers everywhere. The ahi towers in this book, it's like she's constantly at just like the most black, lacquered, glossy restaurant.
No, it was the most reality show confrontation where it's like, you know, it's like at a weird non-dining hour, like 3. And like so no creep. One there. Also, but, she orders. She's like, so I rarely drink.
Oh, she
so
loves, instead
of
right.
Yeah, I instead of getting white wine spritzer, I got a mojito, but I ordered it Mojito.
She was like, it's always really fun to mispronounce things and watch the waiters like get fumbled. Again, this is why she is literally my favorite
also,
person. In
literally
the world.
Us. Do you remember that time we went to Chili's?
Oh, I feel like we were so going through a period where we were always saying fajitos
and vaginas. And I was and like, vagina. I was her fajitas, and you kept on being like vaginas, vaginas. And I was like, shut up. And then when I ordered it, I did order vaginas, and I was so embarrassed.
Man, we used to really get each other's goat. Yeah.
Dude, Chili's in Harvard Square, rip.
All right, fucking pee, man. That town's a fucking shadow.
It's fucking changed.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
So I was gonna say, I think she's a really good like structural writer. She's really does a really good job of teasing out
yes.
the drama of that marriage's dissolution and like planting little seeds about his infidelity and about the drug use. And like first, the drug use is revealed on this trip to Cabo, obviously, where like she finds the massive bottle of Percocet.
And then he called her and revealed the whole Amy thing. She also is very good at teasing out where she'll be like talking about the wedding and being like, yeah, and here's a photo of Amy with my husband. More on that, you know.
On the wedding
and
night.
And has a photo of it. It's really...
Literally on the wedding
and then,
night.
Oh, wait. So then for their honeymoon, they go... She goes... Their honeymoon is basically just her filming The Grudge. And then he leaves... And then Amy admits that they met up for like Mexican. And she's like, yeah. And after one too many sangrias, like we were fucking. And she's like, meanwhile, I'm having shabu shabu with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay. Hold on. Can I get it? I've got the confrontation yeah. scene. Okay. I got to the restaurant Mediterrano on the Hermosa Pier.
I also highlighted Mediterrano. I'm dead at that name.
And waited shakily for her to arrive. Normally, I would have asked for a white wine spritzer, but it was a little embarrassing how much of a lightweight non-drinker. So I decided to man up with a mojito instead. Okay, so then she's like trying to confront Amy because she's already been told by a friend that Amy fucked her husband, but Amy doesn't know this. And Amy has basically been like a weirdly distant friend for years.
And they basically stopped talking to her.
Responded to her sassy Christmas card with Anna Nicole Smith in it. And like...
As a side note, then she goes on this amazing, she does go in tangents, but like she'll get you back there again, amazing writing, where she's like, and by the way, normal Christmas cards fucking suck, and so do like Christmas letters. Like, how about be honest for once and being like, hey, yeah, I'm pregnant with our third baby accidentally and my pussy is stretched out, I hate my husband, he's a dick. She's like, be fucking honest. So she's like, so I send out hilarious Christmas cards, one of them being her and her husband with Anna Nicole.
Okay, so, and then on the one that she sends to Amy, she writes on the back, and the award for, like, worst caller back friend of the year award goes to Amy, like, hope you're well. She was like, and I thought that was sassy and fun, and she'd totally get my sense of humor because yeah, we're girlfriends. She's, and then she never responds.
I love when she'll be like, we totally bonded over our senses of humor. She has one, which I feel like, I guess, is important when you are, like, only hang out with athletes.
I mean, that's just like straight, just be like, and then I was sarcastic him and he totally got it. Okay, so she's like trying to like get Amy to basically like come out and say it. Amy's like, how are you? She's like, you know, they're at Mediterraneo like having their mojitos. Turns out I believe Tim is a sociopath. I also believe he's addicted to prescription pills. He's addicted to gambling, almost $100,000 of our savings, and get this, he's been cheating on me. Well, from the wedding night, I paused to gesture in her direction until the present. I waited for her to react to my not-so-subtle gesture. She was stone-faced. There was nothing there. I knew she possessed a SAG card and was a wannabe actress, but come on. So then she goes, look, Aim, I used her nickname. Her nickname being Aim.
Aim.
We can sit here and bullshit for 20 more minutes, or we can be honest like we used to be, and you can tell me from your perspective what happened the night of my wedding with you and Tim. Now Amy took a deep, dramatic, Stellar Adler studio acting breath. And then she took another, this one from Meisner Studies. I didn't have the patience to watch her gulp down all the oxygen in the room, so I encouraged her to start talking and stop with the yoga breaths. Aim, there's nothing you can tell me about Tim that I don't already know. Unless you tell me that you have a 4-year-old son with him. I meant business, but I wasn't threatening because the sick part of me wanted the dirty little details that only people who have been cheated on long for. Less was not more. I wanted to know, to paint a vivid picture, to make sure that my torture was sketched out for me on a full-blown color canvas. And so then Amy reveals, Rosa, I was in a really dark place at the time. What I did was inexcusable, but I was a different person back then. I was trying to deal with the worst depression. I did things I'm not proud of. There were a lot of drugs at your wedding, you know, she continued, oh, yeah, matter-of-factly, as if it was also printed in the wedding program. Yeah. No, I did not know, I said, wondering how much. I just love her just being like, wait, okay, honestly, like, there was so much.
There was, like, a lot of coke. I also don't find, like, coke to me is, like,
doesn't make you want to fuck someone's husband.
Like, being drunk is more like, oh, my God, and then it happened. I feel like coke is a little more, like, you're focused.
Oh, wait, can I just read this one more line? She goes, no, I did not know. I was wondering how much more I could possibly have been unaware of. Was I female? Was my name even Rosa? Was I invited to the same wedding? How could I be so Helen Keller about what was going on around me? This is another thing where this book is so kind of full of these things that aren't necessarily like cancelable in a 2021 way, but it's just like things that an editor would be like, well, you just can't say Helen Keller.
Yeah, there are definitely some parts that would not be written today.
And that's another reason why she is an icon and I'm obsessed with her. Anti-woke queen, Rosa Blasey. Well, okay, can I ask you, like, what substance would make you do something that destroys a friendship?
Interesting. Like, I do feel like...
catnip.
Yeah, catnip. I don't know. It's, like, more ecstasy, right? Like,
right. And then you're, like, so horny. And you're, like, rolling.
Yeah, rolling. Coke feels just so, like, loud conversation. Like, I think, yeah, ruin a friendship. I guess, like, yeah, more alcohol or, like... because it's, like, mushrooms. I'm always get so, like, mucusy, which is disgusting and, like, not a hot sexual look.
Oh, yeah. Stay away from mushrooms, especially while you have COVID. I don't know. I guess I would fuck my friend's husband on coke. That's my final answer. Like, I get the Amy perspective. Because, like, I mean, yes, like, yes, Amy should be held accountable. And, like, that's so fucked up. And you have to draw the line somewhere. And your friend's husband on their wedding night is psycho. But then at the same time, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. It's literally the wedding night. This is such a thing. You
it's
know
almost
I mean?
More, I kind of see it to play like Amy's side. Like it's kind of hotter that it's on the wedding night because it's so
exactly.
bad. You're like,
it's
oh, we're,
so
and he came
bad.
And we're getting in the hot tub and just like, I can't believe I'm just like this naughty, bad, bad bitch. So I think it's more the heat of that, of the betrayal versus just like doing lines in this hotel room. I also but do love that Rosa isn't like, yes, yeah, she confronts Amy, but she's not being so like, you know, she puts blame on the husband.
But also like Amy was a bad friend. Like she disappeared for years. Out of guilt. And it's like, it is weird. But she's being like, we're having drinks. We're like, she is so reality show. She is living her own reality show in this fab way. Like, she does the thing where then she becomes friends with the girl who was fucking Moose in Atlanta.
Right.
And then they like send him a Polaroid being like, we're not fucking you anymore. But then she like does get back together with Moose, but then eventually breaks up with him. But she and that girl become like wing women and like, go to just like Viper Room and like find more athletes together.
Yeah, and I feel like she's like,
are always
and yes,
tell.
She was my plus one to the Maxim party at the 2007 Super Bowl.
with the part where she was like, yeah, basically every party that's not the Maxim or the Playboy party at the Super Bowl in Tampa 2006 wants to be the Playboy yeah. or the Maxim party at the Super Bowl in Tampa. Can I please quickly just say the best line in the book, the best line possibly in any book ever written?
Go on.
I was guest starring as a lap dancer suffering from eczema on Becker.
Literally best line in any book ever. And that's like in the beginning of the book. When I read that, I screamed.
And it's a throwaway line. She's like talking about something else. She's like, so I was guest starring as a lap dancer suffering from eczema on Becker. Becker.
Becker. Like the Ted most... Danson's show post Cheers.
And he's like a coach?
Yeah, I think it's
or
about...
no.
I think it's about him being a coach.
It sounds like the most CBS show ever.
It's so CBS. And of course, like it also like had...
Yes, of course it was CBS.
So many seasons.
Oh no, he's a doctor who's easily annoyed by his noisy neighbors. That's the premise of the show.
So CBS.
A doctor with neighbors.
Pitching that. Okay, we need a reboot of Becker now. Okay, who are you like horniest? What sport are you horniest for?
Oh,
out of like the hockey, baseball, football.
The big ones. Yeah, we're
basketball.
Not putting curling on the list over here.
Because I feel like you're going to be like, yeah, well, like the swimmer is really hot or like this.
No, I know. I'm not. I mean, also swimmer, like they're all gay. So it's like, that's a little bit too easy. The American sports.
Yeah, the big four.
I would say hockey.
I kind of think hockey too, because they're like so, I mean, like people in basketball are hotter, but like hockey is like nasty. Like everyone has like fucked up teeth.
It's the most like
and,
white
like,
trash of all the sports.
Sweaty.
It's the most like toothless, trailery one, and that's hot. No, yeah, just because, well, A, baseball, like, you don't have to be in shape to play baseball. Like, baseball players are, like,
I will say
just, like,
my GF is, like, thinks baseball players are, like, the hottest. Because baseball is so, like, chunky butt. I don't know.
I would say hockey, then basketball, then football, then baseball. Actually, no, but there is something, you know, because baseball is, like, accessible. Also, football, they're just too big.
They're too big, but they're real, the brains are...
Yeah, and they're also, I mean, the football statistics are so depressing. And this is obviously such a different podcast than ours to be like, did you know that 75% of professional
CTE
football players
and like you-
have CTE and like go bankrupt within 2 years or whatever? But it's fucked up and sports are fucked.
Oh, yeah. She gives all these stats. She's like, if you're a football player, you're like 60 more times to die of this and like go into debt. So I feel like it's basketball, hockey, baseball, football.
Yeah. I mean, basketball, I think, is like they're always the most like specimens of masculinity. I mean, they're all like so tall and muscular.
Like baseball, I feel like that's why I idolize more of like look wise, because it's kind of like husky guys who wear chains.
Yeah.
And like, grow their hair and like you don't have to be in perfect shape.
No, you want to be a baseball player.
Yeah. I mean, that was the sport I played most. But you'll hear more about my baseball career in the VIP lounge.
Oh, for sure. We're going to get into childhood sports in the VIP lounge because I know you guys are all in an athletic mood.
I guess just to close out this amazing book, though, at the end of the book, when she's talking about, this isn't a total spoiler, but she talks about her daughter coming home from kindergarten and is like, and she came home and was like, mommy, this boy like Darren dressed up in a football jersey and I like him. And she goes, oh God, the sequel. Just being like, yes, my six-year-old is also horny for athletes.
I also love that she like, I mean, A, I just want to say like, I love her acting career, that it's so random. And like, she just like was a steadily working actress who just like made a buttload on a Lifetime show. But like,
oh, she's also a house flipper.
And it was like a house flipper, like, and like has booked a lot of other stuff. And then ended up marrying this like really nice 5'7" guy who lived across the street from her. And it's like, it's such a rom-com.
Okay, but what is kind of random, and I also looked this up, the guy at the end of the book that like she ends up with is not who she married.
Mitch? Wait, what?
Yeah, she marries a different... This is like, I think they broke up because then I looked at her people wedding photos and it's like a totally different guy that has one daughter that she met on Match.com.
Wait.
That she met in like 2018 or something, because this book is from like 2010.
Oh, okay. Well,
so still a happy ending. Yeah. But I am like,
still a happy ending.
But I am like, so you still are like famous enough that you were getting this like People Mag spread.
Oh, because wait, did she and Mitch never get married?
No, she doesn't marry the guy that she talks about that she ends up with at the end of this book. She marries like a different man that I'll be posting on our Instagram.
Hell yes.
32, 24, 69 segments.
Hut.
Okay. How does she live?
How does she live? What does she wear? What doth she eat?
Ooh, what doth
okay,
she eat?
What does she, what doth she eat?
What does she eat?
Ahi Towers, as discussed.
Ahi Towers. I also feel like she's so like, single mom. I'm eating like Kraft macaroni and cheese while standing up, while doing laundry. Like, mom life.
Yeah, she doesn't really mention like cooking very much. I don't think she's much of a chef.
No, I feel like she's grabbing.
Although maybe now in her like 2018 second marriage, she's been a little bit more like roasting asparagus.
I feel like she's Carrie in And Just Like That, always making just salmon and asparagus.
Oh, I haven't seen that episode yet. Stop spoiling
the
plot.
She makes it in the first episode and in the episode that you watched on your phone. So. And remember, Big is like, imagine you 10 years ago, like you wouldn't be caught dead with like a salmon.
Right. Okay. Oh, right. And she and they're being so like lore of the show and just being like, remember when your stove was only for shoes? And she's just like, we've gone from Manolo low to Manolo high. Yeah. I mean, she was, I mean, her heyday was the, you know, the height of steakhouse culture. She's just always around athletes and they're ordering massive like piccatas and milanese's. And
yeah, she's at the steakhouse.
Carbo loading after a big game.
And I think obviously she like is so LA actress and she's like, cheat meal, Mexican.
Well, she also though, you know, what I love is that she's like, she's so like body honesty in this way where she's just like, yeah, like I had a couple extra pounds on my waist and just like, no, I'm not going to like pretend that that's me being so like, hell yes, like, I'm a role model, but I'm also yeah. going to be like, yes, I am a role model.
Right, she's not being like, fuck yes, body positivity.
She's Gen X, and like, yes, the exercise craze of the 80s, like, did sort of begin our modern era of, like, wellness. But, like, it hadn't permeated, I think, so deeply. And I think that you could still just, like, be an actress in Hollywood of the 90s and just, like, never go to the gym and like not even know what the gym is.
Right. Like I'm sure she would do like was in like such a totally like a 90s workout outfit and was like doing kind of like calisthenics maybe on Venice Beach with a couple of girlfriends of hers and they're like running on the beach sometimes.
Occasionally like Melissa and Cece were like,
we're doing a beach run.
Silly beach run like charity. Wait, she's also so charity fitness event.
Yes, she also, oh wait, she also has like her gaze that she goes to Big Bear with every summer.
Oh, right. And she's always being just like,
yes, I'm a fag hag.
Yes, I'm a fag hag. Get yourself a squad of gays. They're way funnier.
And I can say that.
And she was like, Because, like, when she goes on that Match.com date with that guy that she's, like, obsessed with, and she's like, he had this vein in between his elbow and his bicep that I just wanted to lick. And I, like, couldn't stop staring at him at our dinner at, like, Marimonto on Hermosa right, Beach. Yeah. And then it turns out that, like, he works for ESPN.com and, like, once talked to her ex-husband about, like, an investment opportunity, and he thought it was, like, too close to, like, date her, and she was like, god damn it, I wanted to lick that vein.
And then she was like, fuck my husband.
And then she's like telling her gays about it because he, like, doesn't call her back for like 4 days, and the girlfriends are being like, oh my god, he's probably like busy. And she's like, honey, go to your gays if you want the real story. And the gays are like, oh girl, this isn't good. Move on.
Over you.
Is she red wine?
No, but I don't think she's white wine spritzer. I don't think she drinks that
Oh,
much.
Right. She's white. Yeah, she's just white wine spritzer. She's obviously, she's barefoot. She's like, she's boxed wine.
She's grabbing some like shards.
She might bring a boxed wine like to a girlfriend's house for a Saturday.
And being like, sorry, this is all I could find. Mom life.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Yellowtail. She's Yellowtail.
Yeah, she's Yellowtail.
Yellowtail spritzer in a stemless, obviously.
Very stemless.
Yeah, because she's not really having cocktails very often. And like, because that one time she had the Red Bull vodka, it like completely obliterated her world. And she got like lost in Anne Rice's mansion.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, Anne Rice's mansion is insane.
It's everything you think it is. Like,
jealous.
Okay. What does she wear?
What does she wear? Okay, I mean, she's so, like, 90s, and I feel like she, like, has her, like, amazing pair of jeans that her ass...
I mean, she's jeans with heels and a camisole. Like, everything done. She's wearing is jeans and heels and a cami. And then she's with, like... I mean, the photos of her at, like, a group dinner with, like, the six other ex-Hooters waitresses and all of their football husbands.
Right,
and
they're all just, like, insane, crazy, like, baby. They're just, like, in all these dresses that we have not heard of the brands that are just, like, $300 to $600 dresses.
Yeah, from Alza. I mean, she references going to Kitson. Like, she was alive during Kitson's heyday. She was like alive and kicking, and like her tits were out, just like in a gorgeous $600 Kitson cami.
I mean, more importantly, she has implants and then gets them redone, or she like.
And then she has her original implant framed on her wall, which is so fucking iconic. Yeah. She's so fucking fabulous.
So
truly so obsessed with Rosa Blasi. And yeah, because then she got like newer ones. She was like, honey, like I want the new model. Like it's 2009.
And she was like, I was gonna wait till I had a second kid and they were more deflated. But like, look, like
then she got
that
divorced,
ain't happening.
She was like, so whatever.
But then instead of getting implants, she gets a Porsche and she literally calls it my divorce.
Oh, she's so
too iconic. And then, of course, through the whole mom period, she's like, Mitch, my boyfriend, loved me for my mom outfit when she's just being like, I look disgusting. No makeup. She's like, my jeans were so baggy. Like, they were massive, like, rap group baggy jeans. And it's like, you know, they were just, like, not skin tight.
Yeah. I mean, they were just, like, slightly boot cut. And she's in a hoodie with her hair, like, in a low pony. And she's like, yeah, like... I rolled out of a dumpster. Like, I don't make any sense. I'm a lesbian.
Disgusting.
I'm disgusting.
Yeah, I'm a huge lesbian.
And then it's just like she puts on like 3 pounds of foundation and wears a cami and jeans and heels. And it's just like, I looked like Eva Longoria.
And she's like so below. Oh, this was like such a her type phrasing. She was like, I decided I need to get my mid back hair because she had like gotten kind of a mom cut and refers to just like, having long kind of TV blowout waves as mid-back, being like, ugh, girls with mid-back hair.
Wait, I forgot that she used the phrase
mid-back. This is towards the end. I was just like, you are so random with that mid-back hair.
Love mid-back. Yeah, she was like, oh, because she was like, I got a chop, which was, yeah. And she was like, that was the dumb decision to get a chop.
It makes so much sense. She's friends with Kevin Connolly, E, from Entourage. Because she feels like a
leaves,
character.
Like that crazy voicemail on... Wait, whose phone does he leave a voicemail on?
Just like one of the guys she dated.
No, like someone famous is like stalking her. It's like, oh my God, it's going to kill me. Who is it? Evander Holyfield.
Oh.
Remember? And he calls her and he's like, I want to take you out to dinner. Like, I'm going to fly you to Vegas. Like, and he is like being really persistent.
Oh, okay.
And like weird. And she's at like, obviously a big booth at a steakhouse with Kevin Connolly. Yeah. And then he like answers the phone. It's like, don't you ever call here again or I'm going to fuck you up. And then like they all burst out laughing. Like it was another one of the times where she was like, we were all like concealing our giggles because we couldn't believe what a jokester he was.
She's like, Kevin Connolly, amazing sense of humor, who I once saw. I saw him once at that bar, like Flattery's on 14th and 6th. That's like an Irish tavern. Do you know what I'm talking about?
On 14th and 6th?
It's on 14th next to like the donut pub.
Oh,
whatever Irish bar.
That bar is like so sad and random. What were you doing there? No offense.
I was getting a drink there with my girlfriend whose office used to be by there. Just grabbing an afterwork pint. Word.
I love when you just like leaving your apartment at 6, be like, well, day is done. Time for some afterwork drinks. Okay. My gal.
I think I was coming from a clean. This was an the before times.
The great before.
Anyway, he was getting after drinks too. But
wait, Kevin was just like alone at this.
He was with Evander Holyfield. No. Oh, Kevin was with a chick. Like,
good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Okay, so she wears camis.
But she is, I guess my point was, she's like a character in Entourage, you know?
Again, I haven't really seen that show.
It's just like Hollywood mid-2010s, where it's like she's at a party in a tight dress and someone's like, oh, you're on this.
She's just, yeah, she is legitimately an actress on 6 seasons of the Lifetime medical drama Strong Madison. Yeah,
and a guest on Becker.
And was a guest on Becker. And then got a like starring role on like ABC's, it's not called How I Met Your Mother, it's called like How to Make a Plan or something.
Oh yeah, it was like Meet Me in the Middle.
Me. And she was like, and I played a divorced hockey mom with like 2 little kids. Yeah, that was a stretch for me. But she just managed to be this girl who's always at an event, which I'm deeply jealous of. And like, that's always kind of what we want to be, as just girls in jeans and heels at events.
Done. Okay. How does she live?
Surrounded by sushi towers. How does she live? It's carpeting, it's candles, it's like wrought iron light fixtures. Obviously, I want to say it was definitely a high bed then. I could see her randomly having a low bed now.
I think she has a medium bed with her match.com because he still is just like a gelled guy. Like, I think maybe her style's gotten more beachy and low key because her first, she's like, so like, yes, I bought 3 houses by 25. And I feel like her first like houses were such like 90s Melrose Place leather condos. Wait,
there's this part where she is talking about the guy with the small bat and how she thinks he's a faggot because he has like a curio cabinet. Do you remember this?
This is in like Signs. You're dating a guy that's married. And she's like, what? Single
She was
man
like, either he's
curio-
married or gay because what straight guy would have this like kind of 70s cabinet to like display objet in
with like china, which is a red flag. It's like, that's so random if you have that.
And because she's like almost all like all straight guys, all they have is just like black leather couches and like a TV and a PS4 and like literally nothing on the wall except for like a poster with a girl with tits. And I'm like, okay, the accuracy is jumping.
Yeah.
So like that what makes me think that she literally is a club kid and she's so calling out people for being high bed and leather couch.
Well, and if she is a house flipper, that means like she's thinking about design, she's being more Property Brothers.
Well, that's what makes me think it's more Ethan Allen, maybe, and almost like more Martha Stewart. It's just kind of just like there's beiges and creams, but there's blues
West
and there's
Elm.
But I don't think it is so West Elm and like gold accent.
When I say West Elm, I was imagining this green couch, like a muted green couch.
Oh, I will definitely give her a muted green couch. I just don't think she has that, like, I feel like everything West Elm now is like glam girl boss.
I'm talking about 90s West Elm.
90s West Elm. Well, then let's just say Ethan Allen.
Okay.
Can we just go ahead and say Ethan
sure.
Allen?
Sure. Okay? Yeah, let's say Ethan Allen. And for coupons to Ethan Allen Furniture, you'll get that in the VIP lounge.
Go to ethanallen.com/CBCthePod for 30% off your next couch.
I also think she mentions how her husband's ringtone was amazing song. My favorite mistake.
My favorite. Okay, was that a joke where she was like, I turned it from my favorite to mistake to just like.
What did she change it to?
Like,
it's
fuck
something.
You.
Yeah, it's like.
Like CeeLo, fuck you or something.
I think she was serious. But which also makes me think things are right a little bit rustic. So it's like she has her beach house and she's getting like cute beach furniture. Obviously, her athlete oversized home did have more like huge sectionals for her big, huge, wide husband.
I mean, yeah, her huge husband who was always watching TV. Oh, wait, I love the part where she was like, okay, hot tip. Like, if you're a guy wanting to hide your second like trap phone from your wife that has like all of your prostitutes and drug dealers on it, hide it like where all the like routers and like electronic equipment are, because women will never look there. She was like most women, I'm baffled by technology and have no desire to go near it.
Back away from the routers. But then when she does like find his drug stash, she goes in this whole tangent about how she got him a beautiful stainless steel suitcase for free.
Oh yeah, at a celebrity swag event, and he loved that suitcase and it made him feel like James Bond.
Okay, who are you in the book?
Who are you in the book? I mean, I wish I were her.
Yeah, I wish I were her.
On that moose cock.
Okay. I do think I'm a little bit just like one of the friends with an athlete at STK in my big
suit.
One
of the silent friends?
No.
Silent
like, wife? No. Because she's like the male friends who are like hang out with athletes to meet chicks.
Oh, so you're just like the dumbest hanger on? That's like, wow, I feel like that's insulting.
I guess I was thinking not dumb, like kind of fun, like one of the ones that more like talks.
Oh, are you Shaggy, the next door friend who's like, looks like Scooby-Doo and is always smoking weed?
Maybe I'm that, but also maybe I'm like Eli Manning's really fun wife.
who has a thing for
Tim.
But Rose's
like,
wife.
Yeah, but it's like
also Rose's husband.
Totally sarcastic at their big athlete dinners.
am I one of her gays in Big Bear?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that too easy?
Easy, you're a gay in Big Bear. But also
being like, bitch, we're going skiing, dump him.
Girl, he actually hates you, so meet me in Big Bear.
I'm definitely not my cousin with the badonkadonk, because I famously have a Latanya pancake.
No, but I think you are part of her crew. I mean, you're definitely part Rosa. Like, you're getting into the Super Bowl parties. Like, you're getting
to
on the boat.
Guys.
You're like, oops, I got on the
boat. I'm getting on the
boat.
Fucking yacht, do or die.
Yeah, I'm getting on the stuff. FHM boat.
FHM yacht. Okay, truly my only goal for 2022 is to get on the stuff yacht.
First, we need to reboot stuff. Next, get on the stuff yacht. So yeah, you're half Rosa, you know, because it's like you are being that girl that's like, go to the parking lot, we'll get in.
Well, and actually what I think I find inspiring about her, and something that I think that I have really improved in my own life, is like, yes, I do have a lot of fantasies and romances and like fall in love all the time. And I'm always being like, wait, I'm like this guy. But I think I'm getting better at like moving on and, you know, knowing when things aren't right. And it's like the guy who writes for ESPN.com. Yes, she like has this big crush on him, but she can acknowledge, you know what? That's not for me. And it's fine.
Or the guy that whisks her away in the middle of Super Bowl party week to like the Caymans. And she's like, I gotta get out of here.
Oh, the creepy guy who it turns out to be an asshole. And they like fuck on that other yacht.
Yeah.
And like that, like, that she meets through her random friend, like Azriana, that she meets at like just such a club hide. And she's like, Azriana was very international, had lots of friends at hotels. And I was always flying to Dallas to meet her at a
oh, like at when another we hotel. Got to Dallas, she brought me to the craziest parties.
Yeah, I mean, I am in Mexico.
And you were on a boat?
I was literally on a boat the other day.
Okay, I give this book 10 tight football spandex pants out of 10.
I give this book an 11-layer Super Bowl Sunday dip out of 10 layers. Truly.
Essential reading for club kids.
Essential reading, beach read.
Also good winter read when you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's a total escape if you're not on the beach.
Absolute escapist, Penny. And great messaging, great morals.
Really good morals. Stick to your guns.
It's about, honestly, because it's about friendship and it's about, you know, hard work. It's about gratitude. I just think that there's so much to take away from
it. Throwing you shit and just keep on going, you know?
And keep on going and loving the ride. And I think that's beautiful.
Pissing on your ex's doorstep. Boom. And for next week's book, we are reading a tale called Pinky Promises by none other than Madame Elizabeth Warren.
Senator, wife, mother, dog owner, candidate.
Massachusetts resident.
Native American woman, professor.
Fighter of rights, general rights.
Taker down of banks, slayer of Wall Street.
My homie, Lizzie Warren. Okay, so yeah.
Cannot wait to Cambridge it up with her and her illustrated book. Is it illustrated?
Oh, yeah. And it's, oh, sorry, not the illustrator is Charlene Chua.
Thank you. Acknowledge and raise our illustrator fams.
Hell yes. And so that's the ep. If you're a just normal person.
We will see you next week. And if you're a fucking awesome Patreon subscriber for only $5 a month, you will see you in the VIP lounge right now.
See you there. Best.
Best.
Well, girl, I am horny as ever after talking about that book.
Damn, soaked to the bone, bitch, ready to get into some nasty VIP dirt in the lounge. Let's order some bottles of Grey Goose at $600 a pop. Keep the sliders coming. This is the VIP lounge.
Double tuna, double wagyu. Now, is it pronounced wagyu?
Wagyu? I think it's wagyu, right?
Wagyu,
like
I'll
Wag
have some
University.
I'll have a wagyu.
Wives and girlfriends.
Wags,
because Wag loves wagyu.
Right, wags do love wagyu.
So, first topic I want to talk about: childhood sports. I know everyone's waiting to dig into Lily's crazy history on the football field. Lil, what sports did you play?
I was a total jock as a kid. So I did play football, but not, they didn't let quote unquote girls play Pop Warner at that time. So
Pop
I would,
Warner?
That's like Little League of football.
Huh. No idea what you're, that went over my head. I mean, football, I was never even like hearing about as a child.
So I would play like tag football at recess with the boys every single day.
How did you even hear about football? And that's like, were you actually using like the football-shaped ball?
And that was just a taste of the VIP lounge. Subscribe on patreon.com/cbcthepod to get more content like that every single week for only $5 a month. Again, that's patreon.com/cbcthepod. For $5 a month, you get access to the VIP lounge every single week. That's more Stephen and Lily every single week for only $5 a month. VIP, subscribe.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by my favorite team, Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Murnane. Okay, we used to go to the Playboy Mansion together and get crazy with editorial support from Leon Nafok. Okay, he is a quarterback for the Bears, and I hear he's huge. Also, Andrew Parsons, I also hear he's huge, but like, one of my girlfriends, like, she dates him. So, like, I would never do that. And I would never date him. Oh, also, Madeline Kaplan, how can I forget our weekend in Dallas, girl? Take me back. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. Bitch, look, you slept with my boyfriend once. You slept with my boyfriend twice. Shame on you. You sleep with my boyfriend three times. Kind of got to give you some respect, okay? For persistence. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. He is hilarious. Okay, I met him at the Box Super Bowl 08 Nolens. He's hilarious. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. I don't know what sport he plays for. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review. And don't forget to tell your friends about us.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.